Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to be a better professional by looking at other people's calendars.
The best value at Manager Tools is to buy an annual license to our material. For $200 a year, you get access to show notes for every single show produced, over 100 a year, plus our entire archive of nearly 1,000 shows. You wouldn't want to print it out all in one place. It'd be a management Wikipedia, and it'd be probably 5,000 pages. You get all that, plus access to Things I Think, and even more powerfully, the interview creation tool, which may be our strongest and most least known digital tool that we have, and more digital tools to come in the future, available only to licensees. Ask another licensee. They'll tell you it is the best value they have.
Between Manager Tools and Career Tools, we have nearly 10 hours of guidance about how to manage your own calendar.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, right? When I looked it up, it was like, wow, who can talk about calendars for that much time? But then we've got a 9-step process for how to do handshakes.
Right.
So, yeah, probably us. But we never talked about how to use someone else's calendars. And someone else's calendars can improve your results and your relationships, which are the two things which are essential to your career. So we're going to talk about that today. The first thing, of course, is to get access to the calendars you need, to look at them before you propose meeting times, to look at them before you call or IM, and don't talk about what you see. That's our outline for today. So the first thing is get access to the calendars you need.
Yeah, it always surprises me, Wendy, when I do conferences and questions about calendars and meetings and schedules come up, and I just assume that people have access to their direct's calendars and that their boss has access to their calendar. And I'm surprised about how rare that is. So I was, you know, really glad to see that you mentioned this in the show notes, because I think a lot of people think that if they don't have it, that they're not supposed to. And so they don't ask, right? And really, before you can use somebody's calendar to have a better relationship with them, you have to have the calendar. And if you don't have it, I think it's a mistake to assume that means you're not allowed to have it. The way you get it is just by asking. It's not complicated.
Yeah. And I've noticed in the organizations that I've worked for, there's two ways that IT set up calendars when they set up your new account. They either set it up so you can see everybody's calendar, like the whole organization can see anybody's calendar, or they set it up so no one can see your calendar and you have to go give people access. You have to find the setting and choose people. You know, if you're in an organization where nobody has access to anybody else's calendars by default, then maybe you don't realize that you have to go ask people, or you have to change that, right? It's on the default setting and you have to change that so that it works for you. And you're right, if people don't have it by default and they're new and they kind of get used to it, not being able to access people's calendars, they might think that's normal and therefore they can't ask. And of course you can ask, right? You can only be told no.
Right. And if you're a manager and you have directs, then obviously it's a lot simpler. You just tell your directs, hey, give me access to your calendar.
I'm shocked that you say that managers don't have access to their directs' calendars. That's mad.
Yeah, it's surprising. It's surprising. And when I suggest to them that they get it, the reaction that I get is one of surprise. And I think it's because people have this thought about their calendar that it's private.
Mm-hmm.
And they're correct. I mean, because we put private things on our calendars. And so that makes a lot of us maybe a little bit reluctant to share, right? We don't necessarily want everybody knowing where we're going and what we're doing and where we're going and who we're doing it with. However, in a professional setting, in a work setting, it's completely appropriate for your boss to have access to your calendar, for peers, for other people, because it's company time. The company is paying for your time. And so for the company, the organization, to have insight or transparency into what you're doing with that time in order for other people to be more effective about scheduling time with you is totally appropriate.
Yeah. It reminds me of painters like that say, oh, you can't see it till it's finished. there's an element of you can only see the results. I don't want you to see the kind of the machinations. And calendars kind of feel like a bit like that way too. If you see it, then you might tell me that I'm doing something wrong, or I'm concentrating on something I shouldn't be, or I shouldn't be going to those meetings. There's kind of a nervousness there. But ensuring that you're doing the right things is part of a boss's job, you know? And you can, if you're going to put something private on there, you can write appointment or out of the office or something. And if your boss wants to know, then they'll ask you and you can tell them. But you don't have to write on there, you know, I'm going to the doctor's because I've got an embarrassing problem. Like, you don't have to write the detail on your calendar.
Right. I think most of us here at Manager Tools do that. We have a work calendar that everybody sees. And if there's anything on there that is a little private, like a doctor's appointment that you don't want everybody to know about or something, then I see it on other people's calendars and I do it on mine. I'll just put appointment or I'll put doctor because I don't necessarily care if people know I'm going to the doctor, but I don't necessarily want them to know what doctor I'm always going to.
Yeah. And if Mark asked you because he cared about where you were going and whether or not you were okay, you'd probably tell him.
All right. Well, I tell him ahead of time because most of my doctor's appointments all happen in 1 week. I have like 5 doctor's appointments in 1 week because I'm only home for that week. Yeah. And so I'll be like, hey, I've got 5 doctor's appointments next week. So I tell them ahead of time. But that being said, Wendy, I think we should acknowledge that there might be a little bit of a hump to get over it might be a little bit of an uphill battle, right, to get access to people's calendars.
Yeah, because they feel like they're private.
Right.
So the first thing you can do is you only ask for access to calendars that you need. When I was writing this, I was thinking about peers. So peers in other departments that might need to, that you know, that you end up talking to like 10 times a day because your work really interfaces, you may want to see their calendar. On the other hand, all of their peers in that department, you probably don't need their calendars. Like, so to ask for huge swathes makes the ask much more difficult and much less likely to say yes. But if you're just asking one person and there's an obvious need, then you're much more likely to get a yes.
I think a good question to ask yourself is, have I noticed that I'm having problems reaching this person on a regular basis or scheduling meetings with them? Am I running into that barrier with this person a lot? And if the answer is yes, then that's probably a pretty good indication that it's an appropriate ask.
Exactly. So here's an example of how you might ask. So, Joey, I wonder if it will be helpful for us to have one another's calendars. I know how frustrating it is for you to just keep getting my voicemail and I'm in and out so much. You could look at my calendar and see whether I'm available and I could call you at more convenient times, or you could call me when I'm going to be free. Do you think that would help?
And I love that because it's making the offer first. It's saying, hey, I'm willing to give you access to my calendar rather than just saying, hey, I need access to your calendar.
Exactly.
Right. It's a reach out about that you're trying to make things easier on them. And the happy byproduct is it also makes it a little easier on you.
Exactly. And that's one way of asking for anything. If you want something that people are maybe a little bit reluctant to do, it's always offer to go first. And you know, if you're being Machiavellian about it, it makes it harder for people to say no. And most people will say yes if you give them a reason. There's a famous experiment where there was a line for a photocopier and somebody wants to skip the line, right? So they skip to the head of the line and they say to the person who's about to start their photocopying, can I just slip in here? I really need to do some photocopying. And everybody says yes, right? There's, of course you need to do some photocopying. So does everybody else right. in the queue, right? But for some reason, if somebody gives us a reason, we just say yes. So it's a trick for lots of things.
I think in general, most people want to be helpful.
Yeah,
in general.
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, all of the time. And sometimes because we're in a better mood, we're more likely to feel that way. But I think in general, most of us, most of the time, want to be helpful.
Yes, like most people, most of the time, are doing good work.
Right. Okay, so we get access to the calendar by asking. Our next piece of guidance is before you propose meeting times to actually look at the calendar, right? It would be super frustrating to me, Wendy, if you didn't have access to my calendar and you said, hey, can we exchange calendar? And I said, yeah, sure, here's mine. And then it became clear to me every time you schedule a meeting with me that you hadn't actually looked at
it. Oh, gosh, that would be awful, wouldn't it? I didn't think of that when I was writing this, but yeah, that would, oh, yeah.
So if you're going to ask for it, you need to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating. We've all done this, right? You're trying to schedule a meeting with somebody and you send an email, hey, how about this time? And the person says, well, I can't do then. How about an hour later? And you're like, no, I can't do then. And then the more people who are involved in the meeting, the longer this goes on, right? The more back and forth and people, well, I can do this time. And then want somebody else, no, well, I can't. And it's never ending. So instead, there's another solution. Look at everybody who's going to be in that meeting that you're proposing, you're trying to schedule. Look at their calendars before you propose times. It takes a few extra minutes. It takes a little bit more effort on our end, but you save a lot of time by not having to do the back and forth. And for me, I know when I'm on the receiving end of this, when I can tell Wendy, for example, that you've checked my calendar, it makes me feel better about our relationship. Like she's not just trying to do something and check it off her list. She's actually thinking about how it impacts me. And she's thinking about what works for me first, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how this works around relationships. And it's faster to get everybody that you want in a meeting. So you get better results as well. It's like magic.
Magic.
And you'd think that this was the, like, look at people's calendars before you propose meeting times. Like, that's a grade one math, you know, grade one business level lesson. But we all know that every day we get those conversations. So clearly nobody's doing it.
And the worst is when somebody sends you the meeting invitation that puts it on your calendar. And that's a function within the calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's clear that they've been in the calendar software. And then they're still sending you an invitation for a time that doesn't work for you. It's like, oh, so frustrating. And obviously, if people don't keep their calendars up to date and accurate, then, right, well, there's nothing we can do about that. Like, you still may have to do some back and forth, but for the most part, it's going to reduce that time. And it reduces the, even if we do have to go a little bit back and forth, we don't have to go back and forth, hopefully, as much.
Yeah, exactly. And other people, hopefully, might start to notice and update their calendars, or even use your method by sharing calendars and looking before they set up a meeting. And with many things, it's better if you're talking about peers not to recommend something or suggest something, or not to say, hey, I'm doing this and it works way better than your method.
Right.
It's better to wait till people notice, or to wait until people say, hey, I'm having a really, they're just moaning, really. I'm having a really hard time getting Bill in a meeting. And you say, okay, well, here's something I found works. Like, you might want to try it. It's much better to be low-key, around peers at least. If you're a manager, just dictate. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes you get to be in charge, right?
Sometimes. So our next recommendation, sorry, I cut you off, Wendy, is to look before you call. So similar to look before you schedule a meeting, if you're going to call somebody, check their calendar. When you think about it, it's kind of stupid what we do, right? We have something that comes up, and I have something that I need to talk to Wendy about, and it's right on my mind. And so I just pick up the phone and call her because the moment is right for me. It's good for me. I'm thinking about it. I'm available right now to talk about it. Of course, Wendy's going to be available right now to talk about it as well.
Yeah.
That's a huge fallacy in logic, right? And if we call that person and it's not a good time for them, then it's much more likely that the conversation's not going to go well, right? And the person maybe is a little short or a little grouchy, or they're distracted because they were actually working on something else, right? Wendy's working on project A and I call her to talk about project B. She's going to be distracted because, you know, you're thinking about the other project. You're not thinking about what I want to talk to you about. And that increases the chances that we're not going to have a good conversation.
Yeah, and this kind of what I am as well. So that's something else that people use, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just thinking about this now, so I'll just ping someone. And normally with IM, you expect a response or people respect a response fairly quickly. And so it's almost akin to a phone call in the sense that, you know, there's a conversation, a real-time conversation going on. And you could call and leave a voicemail that works. You could leave a voicemail and say, hey, call me back later. But if you really want to talk to someone, if you want to have a conversation with them, it's far better to look at their calendar first and work out when is a good time to call, rather than leaving them a voicemail and then not knowing when they're going to call you back, because you don't know how important this issue is compared with all the other issues. And if you look at their calendar and they are in a meeting, or they've just got out of a meeting that's usually fairly contentious, or they are about to get on or about to get off a flight, because there's these annoying people in airports that want to give people information about their flights, and they always talk over the conversation I want to have.
Right?
It's very annoying.
And very loud, too.
Yeah. They always interrupt. I'm like, shut up. So that for me is like, it's not even that it's a bad time to talk to you because you're about to board a plane. It's because I get irritated with the person who wants to give boarding instructions. Like, it's bad to be a bad conversation. So looking at the calendars and picking a good time and matching it with a good time for you is just, it's just far like more likely to give you a good conversation. And all of those good conversations add up to a better relationship. You know, your mind, even if you don't know it, counts positive and negative interactions with people. And if it's having more positive than negative, that's part of what constitutes a good relationship.
And I don't know how you feel about this, Wendy. You may feel differently than I do, but sometimes I will check somebody's calendar, and I do this probably a lot with Mark, and I'm pretty good about checking his calendar. I have to admit, I'm much better about checking his calendar than I am about checking my direct, Sarah and Kate's, and that's something that I'm trying to get better at. Sometimes I will call him, even though I know he's in a meeting, and I'll leave him a message, and I'll say in the voicemail, I know you're in a meeting right now, but I just wanted to call and let you know about X, Y, and Z, particularly if it's not something that he needs to call me back on. Like if I'm just giving him information, but I will try to acknowledge in the voicemail, hey, I know you're in a meeting, or hey, I know you're on a one-on-one with Judy right now. Just wanted to let you know about X, Y, and Z. You don't need to call me back. I like it when I get those kind of voicemails from people, because again, it tells me that, wow, they checked. They know what I'm doing. Like, they know that my world doesn't revolve around them. Right? Yeah. The acknowledgement of, hey, I know you've got other work and you're busy with other things, I really appreciate. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's something that I will often do. Now, if it's I need to have a conversation and I can see that, you know, Mark is in a one-on-one, then I'll usually wait.
Yeah, there's a difference between wanting a two-way conversation and a kind of one-way broadcast of information that you're probably not going to need anything back from him. And I do, I'm exactly the same. You know, if I see he's with the client and I know that all I'm giving him is information, I just want to give him an update, but I don't need any guidance or I don't need a response from him, then I leave a message and say, the same as you, you know, I can see you're with the client, but I just wanted to leave you this message. It's just information only. You don't need to call me back.
Cool. Our last recommendation, I think, is really brilliant. And so I'm giving you a compliment.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And really subtle. And that's don't talk about what you see, right? So we talked at the beginning about how a lot of people feel like protective of their calendars, that their calendar is private, that there's personal information. And out of respect for that, we say, if you see stuff on there, don't mention it.
Yeah. It's like if you have access to other people's emails, if you can see their response to customers. If you're a manager, it's different. Like if you see people's emails and responses to customers and there's something that needs feedback on, then you can give feedback. But when we're thinking about peers, what we want to do is almost pretend that we can't see their calendar. Or at least pretend that the only pieces of it that we see are the pieces that are relevant.
Yes. I like that.
Because at the back of their mind, even as a professional, a professional recognizes that their calendar is not actually private, but we still have those feelings about them. And professionals say, okay, my feelings are not helpful in this case. It's much more effective for me to give people access to my calendar. But the you know, that little feeling probably doesn't go away. And so you want to make sure that having their calendar or being able to access their calendar doesn't produce a negative for them. So you said having an access to their calendar and then not using it. Well, that would be a negative, right? And if the sharing their calendar only produces negatives, then they're not going to want to do it. And they're within their rights almost to take it away. So if you see something on someone's calendar, you just don't mention it. So if you see a meeting that you know about that, you know, might be contentious, or you see them meeting with a client that you don't know, or you see them meeting with HR and their boss, you know, all things that you can draw conclusions about, but you don't mention it. You don't say, hey, I saw you were going to HR. Is there a problem? Unless that person is A, your direct, or be someone that you have more than a peer relationship with. You know, I would probably say that to you, but we're quite close.
Right.
I probably wouldn't say it to Kate and Sarah because, one, they're your directs, and two, we're not that close, you know, or not close enough to be discussing those kind of things.
Right. And for same for doctor's appointment. Hey, I saw a doctor appointment. What's going on?
Yeah.
Right? Because people might not want to share that with you. It could be all kinds of things. It could even be that it's not their doctor appointment. It's their spouse's or their partner's doctor appointment. And they're going with them because, you know, it's quite serious and they want to be there to support them. And now you're putting them in a position of having to talk about something that frankly isn't their place to talk about.
Yeah. So my rule is if the person hasn't specifically told you about that event in some other way, you could only have known about it by looking at their calendar, you don't talk about it. You know, you see that they're leaving early to go to a school play and you know they don't have children, you're kind of curious, like, whose school play are you going to? If they bring it up and say, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to be out tomorrow, I'm going to the school play, and you say, you can say, oh, really? Whose kids are that? But if you only see it on the calendar, then don't bring it up. Because even though like a school play would be fairly benign, it's the respect of the boundaries, the respect of the fact that you have their calendar for a reason and you're only using it for that reason.
For that reason, right.
You know? And you might be the kind of person who can resist looking and you might not be. Like, no, probably nobody's ever going to find out if you feel the need to go through someone's calendar for the last year and look at all the interesting things. The rule is, like, you can see everything, but you don't talk about everything. And if you're the kind of person who will look and then think, oh, I can't resist asking, then don't look.
Then don't. And then you ought not work for me, because if you have time to look at other people's calendars, you don't have enough work to do.
That's a good point.
And I will solve that problem.
Yeah.
That's an easy problem to solve.
Exactly. So, you know, make sure that you're using it for the reason that you said you were going to use it for, and be respectful of the fact that other people are sharing something that they might not necessarily feel is public information.
Cool. So, kind of summing up, looking at other people's calendars before you ask for their time, either right now, like a phone call, or in the future, a meeting. It seems pretty simple. What was the phrase you used? Like first grade math?
First grade professionalism.
Right. Yeah. But it's surprising, really, how few people actually do it. So get yourself in the habit, and you will see a noticeable difference in your relationships. And when you have better relationships with people that you work with, you have better results.
Exactly. Simple thing, but really powerful.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, Danny. Bye, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.